I want to talk to you tonight from the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, wait just a minute. Don't get your Bibles yet. I want, if you will please forgive me, ask you not to read the 24th chapter now. That's what I'm going to talk about. But read it when you get back to your room tonight. I want to give you a text and leave it at that. But the entire chapter is included with the story that we are about to consider. In this 24th chapter of Genesis, we have Abraham, who is a type of God the Father. We have Eleazar, his servant, who is a type of God the Holy Ghost. And then there's Isaac, a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Rebekah, who is a type of the Church of the Redeemed, the blood washed. Those that are saved and assured of it. I've always been interested in Bible types. Have you? They've always been a blessing to me. Well, this particular chapter really has beautiful, wonderful, wonderful types. However, in the 63rd verse, which will be our text tonight, we find these words. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, the camels were coming. I don't know how you feel, but I appreciate the blessed Holy Ghost. I love him with all my heart, and I really appreciate him. And three most wonderful things take place in this chapter that I want to mention in your hearing tonight. One of them is a miracle that takes place at the well. Second, the real miracle that takes place in the home of Rebekah. And thirdly, the meeting at the end of the journey. Now, first we want to talk and consider about the miracle at the well. Abraham called his servant one day to his side as he lay dying. And he said to him, Eleazar, I want you to put your hand under my thigh, which was a way of taking oaths in those days. And I want you to swear before God that you will not choose a bride for my son, from the heathen women. But that you will go to Mesopotamia and choose a bride. And God will lead you. Eleazar made the promise and on the appointed day set off across the desert with 10 camels. The 10 camel drivers. Keep in mind, in the back of your mind and thoughts, that Abraham was one of the richest men that ever lived. And 10 camel sacks were loaded with precious, precious jewels, silver and gold. And this old man, who is a type of God the Holy Ghost, went with the blessing of his master. Now you will remember in the New Testament that Christ said when he, God the Holy Ghost, will come, he will not speak of himself. But he's going to glorify me. Now, young folks, I don't want to say a word to you because I believe that I say this, that I am perhaps the oldest officer here. And let me just say to you that I'm afraid. And listening to young people talk, that they're putting the emphasis on the wrong person these days. Or they're placing the emphasis in the wrong place, let's say it that way. when you hear about all the things about the Holy Spirit. But keep in mind that the office of the Holy Ghost is set aside for one purpose, and that is to lift up Jesus and glorify Him. Never put the Holy Spirit ahead of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit came into the world to lift up Jesus. And Jesus said, He will testify of me. Now I believe with all my heart that the Holy Ghost is hovering low in these last days over this world of ours. And I think tonight He's moving as never before, wanting to give the world a real revival. If people will meet His conditions, God's conditions. And we've got to rush along. But I do want you to notice that the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, He is called the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, but He's called the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. And you say, why? Because if you look it up, the word ghost means the returned spirit of a dead man. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die and He was crucified. He did not die a martyr's death. He died outside of the grace of God. He said, I have power to lay my life down and I have power to take it up again. He came, Jesus did, not to die a martyr's death. He came to die for your sins and mine. You have to have grace to die outside. You have to have grace to die a martyr's death. And Jesus died outside of the grace of God. This is why He turned on the cross and He cried to His Father. This is also why He prayed and cried in the Garden of Gethsemane, my God. Because He was dying outside of the grace of God for your sins and for mine. And He did go back to the right hand of God the Father at the appointed time, and He did send the Holy Ghost. That's why we call Him the Holy Ghost, because He is the returned spirit of He who was dead but is alive forevermore. And He said, I have the keys of death and hell. Now, let's go on. We hear a lot about prayer these days, and we talk a lot about prayer, and that's why we've gathered here. For prayer and power. You're talking about prayer and evangelism, here is a story. Dear old Eleazar, type of God, the Holy Ghost, set off across that trackless desert with 10 camels, going into a land where he had never been, to meet people that he had never seen, to choose out a bride for his master, but he did not know her. But at the bidding of the master, without a question, he set out. And as he went across this barren, trackless desert, with the sand blowing in his face, he prayed a prayer. I'm sure I couldn't pray a prayer like this. But now listen, children, to what he said. Talking to God now. He said, Lord, I'm going at the bidding of my master, and I know that you know all about it. And when I come to the well, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to wait. And God, you're going to have to show me who that girl is that you have chosen to be the bride for my master, because I don't know. And he said, this is a sign that I want you to give me. I'm going to wait until the maidens come down to draw water in the evening. And you whisper in my ear, you tell me when the right girl comes down the steps And then I'm going to walk down the steps behind her, which is forbidden in that land. And I'm going to walk up to her and I'm going to speak to her. There's no something else forbidden in that land. And I'm going to ask her, will you give me to drink water out of your pitcher? Another thing forbidden. And if that's the girl that you want and you have chosen as a bride for my master, dear God, let her turn around and say to me, I'll not only give you water to drink out of my pitcher, but I'll water your camels also. Now, folks, you're talking about putting God to a test. You're talking about faith. You're talking about prayer. Here was a man, a type of God, the Holy Ghost, who really depended on God and believed that God was going to do something about it. 500 miles across this desert, Eleazar came to the well. And they gathered around with their camels and sat down. Now, boy, that must have been some motley crew. With all those long garments that those fellows wear over there. And all of those old stinking camels. Have you ever ridden on a camel? You ever been around one of them? They're the nastiest rascals you ever did see. And if they can't bite you, they'll spit on you. Tick like a horse. And smell worse than all of them. And yeah, these guys been riding, so you know they smell like the camel. 500 miles across that desert. The beards filled with dirt and grime. All of their robes filled with slime and dirt and filth and slobber from the camels. Turbans filled with sand. And here they sat. That'd been enough to frighten any girl to death. But you know, toward eventide, they heard laughing. And they looked up, and here came the young virgin girls down to the well, as is a custom. They were carrying the pitchers on their shoulders to draw water out of the well, the community well, for the family needs for the evening. And dear old Eleazar, a type of God, the Holy Ghost, always listening for the Master's word, watched, and all of a sudden a beautiful, beautiful young virgin girl approached the steps. And God whispered in his ear and said, that's the one that I've chosen. Dear old Eleazar got up and you walked. Am I saying that right? That man's name right? Eleazar. I have to ask the pastor, you know. Dear old Eleazar, he went down the steps behind her, which I told you folks, he's taking his life in his own hands, because that is a threat of death for especially a stranger to approach a virgin girl with her face covered with a veil. But Eleazar had heard a voice, and he could not turn back. He was sure of himself. And he walked down the steps behind her and he said to this virgin girl, will you give me to drink water out of your pitcher? And she turned and smiled at him and said, I'll not only give you to drink water out of my pitcher, but I'll draw water for your camels also. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you right now, that makes you feel good when God answers your prayer like that, doesn't it? But you got to be on praying ground, kids. Now, don't forget that. When you put God on the spot, you'd better be standing in a place of prayer. Your heart had better be right. Don't you ever forget it. But you notice what she said? She said, I'll gladly draw water for your camels also. Now, you know what that meant? With a pitcher? 10 camels over 500 miles of desert? 10 of them? And those old nasty rascals drink about 50 gallons apiece. They do, they really do. And I want you to know that's 500 gallons of water. But she said, I'm glad to do it. Amen. And I believe that when a person is truly born again, when a pure person is filled with the Spirit of God, and when they have the joy of the Lord in their hearts and they praise Him, I believe that no task is going to be too hard for them. I believe they're going to say, I'll gladly do what God wants me to do. Amen? And I believe if you ever get filled with the Spirit of God, and that goes for everybody, I believe that people will stop their belly aching, and they'll stop their arguing, and they'll stop their bickering in their court, and they'll go out and do God's will. I've seen people that would lay in the bed on Sunday morning and didn't want to come to Sunday school. They say, oh, this is my only day to rest. And I deserve this and so on. You know, I hate these little teeny platform put. You know, you can't walk around. Bless the Lord, I just believe that when you're filled with the Spirit of God, when God has all there is of you, I believe with all of my soul that you'll set your clock ahead of time and you'll wind it up and you'll get up ahead of time and you'll praise the Lord and you'll have your heart right and you'll get your breakfast and you'll have your family devotions and you'll get your clothes on and you'll go to Sunday school and you'll stay for church. Amen? But I feel sorry for those people who have just enough religion to make them miserable. I feel sorry for the court officer that has to preach to a bunch like that, too. You ever see them? Of course, you haven't got anybody up here in the West like that. But I tell you what, we got a bunch of them down where I came from. Excuse me, Colonel. I'm talking about folks that go with the families and they claim to be salvationists and Christians and will go to some old filthy drive-in movie with the whole family. On a Saturday night. You know those signs that come one, come all, pay $2.50 and stay as long as you want to? And they come in and they drive into the theater with their kids, and when they do, the first thing they do, they get them little old speakers and put them on the side of the car and open up the door and kick the kids out of the street and throw a bunch of popcorn at them like a bunch of monkeys. Now you go on to that playground over yonder. Don't you bother me while I'm watching, and pretty soon the little kid falls asleep. And they throw them in the back seat, and there they stay till the last feature's over, and then go home and cut the TV on. And watch the late, late, late show. And then they finally, falling asleep in the chair, they go feeling their way across the room. You ever seen like that? Kick one shoe off you and one shoe there and fall in the bed with half the clothes on. Go to sleep and don't wake up the next morning till the sun's boiling down in their face and they jump up and start yelling like a bunch of maniacs. Get up, Bill! Get up, Nancy! Get up, Tom! Captain's waiting for us this morning! You know what I'm talking about? I think you do, and you run through the door, throw a piece of bacon in a pan, catch it on a piece of burnt toast on the other side, and swing it down out. Run out the door, and if you forget your Bible, just grab a magazine. You know I'm going to do it. You got to prove it. Come up the steps at the last minute, snatching the poor little kids, trying to get the tangles out of the hair. The little children crying because you pulled their hair and you slap them upside the face. They be quiet. If it's a woman, she's wearing a uniform, trying to zip that thing up at the side. Holding that little old pee hole up on the top of her head at the same time. If it's a man, he's done buttoned his... When a man comes around, if it's a man wearing his tunic, he'd unbutton his button about three buttons too low at the bottom, three too high at the top. Come walking up the steps, and the poor old officer standing there waiting for his teachers to come in, and they bow their heads and say, good morning. I came from a blessing from the Lord today. You're a liar. You didn't come for anything. The only reason you came was because you're afraid you'd be criticized. I'm saying to you that when God the Holy Ghost comes in power in your life, when there's an absolute surrender, I believe that you'll start acting like a human being. And you'll govern your time. And you'll go to the house of the Lord. And you'll be ready for the blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've been trying to get officers to do this for years. No one has ever taken me up on it. I'm talking about that bunch that comes to the Sunday school as soon as it's over with, they leave. And the poor old court officer, he's done worked up his sermon for a whole week. And there he stands up there preaching to the sergeant major. Everybody else is gone. But I tried for 20 years in preaching around the country to get one officer. When they all walk out, just grab his family and walk out with him. They said, "Where are you going?" "I'm going home." He got just as much right to do it as you have. But I guarantee you one thing. I'll guarantee you one thing, children, hear me. The reason he doesn't do it is he's afraid he'll be electrocuted with the wires of the telephones burning down, falling on top of it. He'll be calling the D.C. saying, "You better get in here, Colonel. The captain done lost his head. He's gone crazy." Amen. You know, I got to go on here. I believe when people are really saved, when people are filled with the Spirit, and when they really love Jesus with all their hearts, they're going to stay for the holiness meeting. They're going to stay. And don't you ever forget it. They love preaching. And they love the Word of God. And they love to worship and praise the Lord like they should. Amen. All right. So, the moment that she said, "I'll draw water for your camels also," then Eleazar told her why he had come. And she said, "I'll go." Amen. He said, "God told me, God revealed to me that he wants you." Hear this now, Rebecca. God wants you to be the wife of my master, Isaac. And he said, "You know, you ought to see him. Why, he's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. He's so sweet. He's good. You ought to know something. And his father is one of the richest men in the world." And he started, just like I told you, his type of Holy Ghost. He didn't even think about himself. He started lifting up and building up his master in his eyes. And she said, "I'll go with you." Now the Bible says, and I don't know how you like to tell me about this one, Doctor. He put a ring in her nose. A gold ring in her nose. Must be the custom in that land, I don't know. It's an engagement ring. At the moment that a girl says that, they put this gold ring in her nose. Don't y'all screech up your nose, girls. Y'all do the same thing. You stand up and let somebody boogering a hole through your ear. What's the difference? But I want you to notice. I want you to notice that she said, "I will gladly go." And I believe that when a person is filled with the Spirit, they're willing to go when God leads them and God tells them to go. And I really mean that with all of my heart. Okay, so she ran home. After he asked her, did they have room up at her house for them that night? She said, "Sure they do." And she ran home and told her parents and her family all that had taken place, and they prepared for them. And I was rejoicing that night in food. And Eleazar laid before them his mission. And the mother tried to say, "Let her stay for another 10 days. But dear old Eleazar said, "Don't hold me back from doing my master's business. I have to go in the morning." And the father said, "Well, ask her. She's the one to make the decision." But she had already made it. She said, "I'll gladly go." Amen. No, listen. They got ready to leave. And the family came together with her. And her father blessed her. And her brothers blessed her. And they said, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Now, the word here is singular, and it had reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was yet to come. Let thy seed, do what? Possess the gates of those which hate him. Now, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, and about the 18th verse, I think it is, you will find the scriptures that says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And that's the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to go into that, but I don't have time. Because, you know, it is true. When Jesus Christ went down into the heart of the earth, when he was buried, he went down and preached to the spirits in prison in hell. And when he came to these spirits, Satan met him there. This is the word of God. And he said to him, Jesus, you can't come in here. I have the power over death, and I have the keys of hell. And it's scriptural. It's the truth. You read that in the book of Hebrews, that until Calvary, Satan held the keys of death and hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary, finished that work once and for all forever. And when he came into the heart of the earth, I can see him now. You say, preacher, what did he go down there for? Well, he went down into hell and he started to preach. And when Satan accosted the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that Jesus grabbed old Satan by the throat. And I believe that he throttled him down until Satan said, that's enough, Lord. And I believe that Jesus took the keys of death and hell away from Satan. And he fastened them about his white robe. And he backed up to the gates of hell. And he pulled them away from their hinges. And he went back to the grave. And he resurrected his own body. And stood on Calvary's mountain in the resurrection tomb. And said, behold, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And he's my coming King, and I love him and appreciate him. Amen. 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 And the Holy Ghost is bragging on Jesus all the time. And they set out across that trackless desert. And the sun rose higher and got hotter and hotter. Nighttime came. They looked over by the campfire. Old Eleazar did. The tears were running down her face. She was saying in her heart, maybe I made a mistake. She was so sore and tired, very, very tired, from that track that day across the hot sands where she'd never been. Never had probably ridden on a camel before. Maybe I made a mistake. Old Eleazar, remember, type of God, the Holy Ghost. He saw her. And he slipped over and sat down beside her. And he patted her hand. And he said, cheer up, honey. The best is yet to come. Honey, wait till you see my master. It'll be worth it all. He's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. He called for the servants and they opened up one of the sacks and they brought out precious jewels. And they gave them, he gave them to her and said, honey, this is just a token. Just a token. My master's a rich man. He's got all of these and more and more and more and more. That's the kind of God we're serving too, you know.
Right.
Amen? Amen. And then you know they took an anointing, a balm, and with her nurse and her attendants, they took her into the tent and they anointed her body to relieve the soreness. And the next morning, she didn't feel so badly. She made it a little better. But along toward evening, she got tired again. And this was repeated over and over and over, day after day, until finally she could ride that camel all day long. And then they passed upon a no return. And it was easier for her to go on than it was for her to turn back. And that's what happens to you and me. Sometimes you and I get downhearted. Sometimes you and I get down in the dumps. And we feel that we're tempted to give up. Oh, it's a use. I've tried so many times. It's right then that the blessed sweet Holy Ghost comes walking on wings of velvet. He puts his precious arms around And he loves you to him and pulls you to his bosom and whispers in your ear and says, cheer up, honey. The best is yet to come. You already passed upon a no return. It's much easier for you to go on than it is to turn back. Cheer up. Wait till you see my master. Amen. Amen. And you know I'm waiting. I really am. I want to tell you this old gray bald head of mine. I want to tell you this old world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ paid the price on Calvary's cross. His precious blood atoned for my sins. I accepted that sacrifice. The blood was applied to my heart. I received him into my heart as my personal Savior. And he, out of loving kindness and his grace, forgave me. And he planted my feet on the way that leads to heaven. And I'm happy to report to y'all tonight that I'm well on my way. And that I just stopped by here at Glen Eyre to have a little fellowship. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Oh, my Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. Hallelujah, I'm a child of a king. Amen. Amen. Why don't we sing a verse of that, Bobby? Marsha, how about it? That's it. I'm a child of a king. I'm a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. Praise the Lord, that means that you and I are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that his seed, Jesus, is planted in us. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That thrills my soul, doesn't you? Amen. That means that the seed is in us and the resurrection's in us. And you know, that's why I don't have to worry about dying and being resurrected when I lay down. Bless God, I know it's so because God said it was going to be so. And I've never worried about that because I'm a farmer by birth. You know, if I plant corn, I expect corn to come up. If I plant beans, I expect beans to come up. If you plant potatoes, you expect potatoes to come up. Amen? And when you plant a saint's body, a glorified saint's body is going to come up. Amen? For we that are dead and will not precede, we that are alive will not precede those that are dead in Christ. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the scripture, isn't it, Doctor? And it's the truth, too. Amen. All right. In the book of Genesis, God laid down the law of seed time and harvest. He said, let the like produce like. And that's the seed time and harvest, and you cannot change that. God said it. And like produces like, he said, and the seed of God is in you. What did it mean? It meant that the likeness of God is in us, that we are joint heirs with Christ, and when Jesus laid down his body, up came a glorified body, and that same resurrection seed is in you and me. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't care what the devil says about that and what he tries to do. And where's that little girl who was testifying a while ago? Honey, don't you worry about them devil coming to you. Don't, you don't have to worry about that at all. You just go on and serve the Lord like you talked about. I don't care what the devil does. He may bruise you. He may maim us, but God knows about it. Aren't you glad that God gave you two of everything? That's amen. Amen. That's the truth. You know, you can whack, the devil can whack off one arm, you still got another one. Devil may lose a leg, but you got another one. Got two ears, two eyes. Amen. Somebody said, hey, you got two hearts. Oh, yes, I have. This old heart of flesh, you may stop ticking. But Jesus, in the word of God, says that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, and a new heart will I give unto thee. Amen. Amen. I give God the glory for that. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, the more I read the word of God, the more that the more I love him. And the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. That song is just about right, isn't it? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. All you have to do is just yield completely to him and say, all right, Lord, You live your life and me. I'm gonna stop. You can hog, but you know what I'm talking about. All right. And finally one day. Oh, yeah, I got to tell you about this, because if you don't, you might never think about it again. Remember I mentioned those old camels a while ago? I told you that the stomachs held 50 gallons of water. I didn't tell you this, that all around a camel's stomach, the Lord gave him little extra pockets up on the top of his stomach. This is true, on the top of his stomach. Now, Mr. Scientist, Raider, you get on that, this is wrong. And they tell me that when a camel's stomach fills up full of water, then when it starts to run over, it fills all these little sacks all the way around. And this is why that old buzzard can walk across the desert when nobody else can go. God fixed him so that no other animal in the world's like him. Did you know a camel? God has fixed him so that he closes his nose when the sand starts blowing on the desert. He just closes up his nostrils and keeps on going. And every time he gets thirsty, he has a supply. And when that old stomach gets empty, he just draws up a muscle and squeezes one of the little pockets. You got a fresh one. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you and me. Yes, sir. When you surrender completely to the Lord, he fills up all the little pockets of blessing around you. And then when you get down in the dumps and you feel like that going any farther, the Holy Spirit comes and whispers in your ear and says, don't forget the pockets. Boy, you squeeze, puts his arm around you and he squeezes, you know. And some more of the blessings come out. Thank God for the heavenly squeezings. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. And they rode on across that desert. And the way got brighter. And one day, remember I read it to you? And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he heard camel bells. And he lifted up his eyes, and behold, the camels were coming. And about that time, Rebecca saw him. And she said, who's that handsome man coming across the field? Girls, y'all want to read a good true story? You don't have to go down and buy one of them filthy magazines on a newsstand. Read the Word of God. This is a true love story. And it's true. An old Eleazar type of God, the Holy Ghost, said, that's my master. That's the one I'm talking about. And he caused the camel to kneel, and Rebecca slid off of the camel and started running across the field toward Isaac. And Isaac, as he lifted up his eyes, saw her, recognized her. God revealed to him that that's the girl. And he ran to meet her, and she ran into his arms. Hallelujah. What a beautiful story. How God works. And the word says that he took her into his mother's tent. They were married and lived happily ever after. Amen. But that isn't all. This whole thing speaks of the power of God, the Holy Ghost, in a person's life. Beloved, listen to me tonight. Do you know what I'm talking about when I talk about this infilling? Do you know and have you experienced what I'm talking about when I tell you that the Holy Spirit comes and fills you to overflowing and blesses your life when you say, Lord God, here's all there is of me. Don't have much, Lord. But here I am. I heard one of our folks right here say to me last Sunday, he said, I rode 48 hours on a bus. And I prayed for 48 hours that God would fill me. I heard the little girl testify to him last night. She said, I came praying that God would do something for my life. I heard a young man say the same thing you did, all of you. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I got good news for you. You can have it. If you listen to the sweet Holy Spirit as He speaks to your precious heart. If you want power in evangelism, it has to be mixed with prayer in evangelism. And prayer to God and a complete unconditional surrender of your life. I mean unconditional. Nothing held back. Oh, wash me now without within and purge with fire, if that must be. What's the next verse of that chorus? No matter what? No matter how, if sin die out in me. And that's what's got to happen. You've got to die. You hear me? You've got to die. I've got to die. If we want the power of God in our lives, we've got to die. If you want the fullness, we've got to die. That's what it means. And then we can start lifting up and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, praising Him in the power of the precious, sweet Holy Ghost. Will you pray with me? I just feel maybe that God's speaking to somebody tonight. And you'd like this blessing. You'd like this infilling. I'm not giving an altar call to a bunch of sinners. I'm talking to God's children. Saved. You are saved people. You've already been redeemed by the blood. But Lord, I want to walk up higher. I want to walk up high in the mountain of holiness. I need this blessing, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. If there's one of you tonight, or two or three, many of you, if God is speaking to you and you want this blessing, this fullness, this infilling. Would you like to come up here and stand with me for a moment and let's pray together? I'm talking to God's children. We're not talking to a bunch of sinners and outlaws now and outside. We're talking to God's children. I want this blessing, Lord. I want this blessing. God bless you, my brother. Just stand right here for a moment. Come along, children. If God speaks to you, don't be afraid. I want this blessing, Lord. I want this filling, Lord. Well, we come in and somebody can do somebody. It's just that simple. Because you're in the right spot now. Come on. I want this filling. I want God to do something. Come on. God bless you, Walter. God bless you, lady. God bless you, brother, and you, brother. God bless you, brother Wyndham. Just come on around here. Come on around here, my brother. Face me. Just come on around. Come on around. Come here, sister. Come on around here. Anybody else? That's right. There's no pushing and shoving here. You're God's children. But Lord, I'm coming for the blessing. I'm coming for the blessing. Anybody else want to come? I don't want to miss it. God love you, lady. God love you, fine young man. I'm coming tonight. In the quietness of this sweet, precious moment, I'm coming. Just Just a second longer. No pushing. Oh, I'm so glad I waited. Come on, darling, we'll wait for you. I know you're putting your books down. Come on. Aren't you glad there's room at the cross?
Amen.
Come on, children, we'll hurry now. We're going to pray in just a moment. We'll wait just a second longer. I want this filling tonight. Anyone else before we pray? I think it's only fitting tonight that we ask Colonel Evans if he would come up here and pray the covenant prayer for you. Here's a man that's been working in this territory praying and believing for you. Lots of you belong to the Western Territory. But he's also concerned about all over the United States. And as the Colonel prays his prayer, you make his prayer your prayer. And really mean business. And I stake my life on it that you'll walk out of this hallowed place tonight never to be the same people again. Because it's tonight that God spoke to you.
Our Father, we come in this moment of worship and praise. Thy work is being done in the hearts and lives of those gathered here. We come corporately as the body, yet we come individually with our need. And we would pray that power in a mighty way might descend upon these thy children, their particular need and desire to serve thee better. Grant that we shall no longer be cisterns, but that we shall be channels through which thy power can flow. Grant that we may no longer be reservoirs just to accept the blessings which thou hast showered down upon us, but that we might be rivers flowing over to those that we contact in the days that are to come. And so come even now, Lord Jesus, and do thy work. We have come these days to worship thee. Now we leave to do thy work and to witness for the power that has transformed our hearts and lives and given us assurance once again of thy redeeming presence. Hear thou our prayer in Jesus' name.